All right, kiddos, come on and join me up here. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. And, with pictures. All right, we start the story with God. And He's over here. And then all of us, all mankind, all boys and girls, all the adults, we're over here. What is it that separates us from God? Anybody know? Yes, sir. Well, that's right. He's up there. What, Lou? Yeah. There you go. That's all right. So we're going to put sin right there. And you know what the middle letter of sin is? The middle letter. What's the middle letter? What is it? I. So I have sin. Okay. So we got a problem. We can't go to be with God because we're separated from God by sin. Okay. I'm going to show you something real cool. All right. But you see, God had a solution. That's right, a plan, Jimmy. All right. He sent Jesus, and what did Jesus do? Died on the cross. All right. And so, when Jesus died on the cross, He took all of our sin upon Himself. And He became the bridge. He became the way. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And let me show you what Jesus' blood does to sin. Now, first of all, come here, bullfrog. I want you to rub on sin then, see if you can rub it out. Rub on it. Anybody else want to try? Want to try? Rub on it and see if you can rub it out. Anybody?
Me.
Rub on it.
Come on.
All right. Hey, it's still there. You want to rub on it too? Hey. Oh, man, it's not. Wait a second. So we can't do that by ourselves. But let me show you what the blood of Jesus does to our sin. Where's our sin?
It's in a big blob of red.
It is. Say the word. It is gone. Because Jesus covered our sin with His blood. And everybody that will accept Jesus as their Savior, they can have life with God and spend forever with Jesus. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to us today. I thank You for these children. I thank You, Lord, that You have worked in their lives and You're working today. You are speaking Your word to them. Now, Lord, as they go to Kids Zone, I'm asking You, Lord, that You'll pour into them today. Lord, as they pray together, Lord, I know You're hearing their prayers. Lord, as they look in Your word together, Lord, speak to them today. Thank You for them and bless them and bless their families. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, children, y'all can go to Kids Zone. I bet some of you adults are wondering how Jesus did that. His power. It's good to see you today. Several of you have asked me, and so I want to give you these times. You've asked me about the blood moon. Tonight and into tomorrow, actually 27, 28, at sundown today begins the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the seventh feast. And remember I shared with you beginning last year, Passover, first feast, tabernacles, Passover, Tabernacles into the second year, 2 years running, four consecutive eclipses, lunar eclipses. It's what a blood moon is. You'll see it tonight. If it's not cloudy, pray it's not cloudy and you can see it. You can see the blood moon. You can see the red. You can see the outline of it. Not preach that sermon all over again, but I want to let you know that that tonight, beginning at 8:11 here in Savannah, is when it will begin. It'll be at its peak, complete eclipse in Savannah, if we can see through the clouds, at 10:47 tonight. And then 1:22, it will conclude tonight. So I hope you will you'll take a look at that. And if you haven't listened to a sermon from a couple of weeks ago, it's time for us to pay attention. It's time for us to start looking and seeing what God is doing and how He's trying to get our attention today. Because He is trying to get our attention through many, many things. And I hope you will pay attention. As I said to you before, when the moon, when you have the four of those, like we have on those four feast days consecutively, Passover, Atonement, Passover Tabernacles, 2 years. It usually means it's something that is happening with the Jews. You can connect that. Happened that way in 1492-93 with the Jews. Jews were expelled from Spain and Portugal. In fact, Brother Dane has been to the place where they slaughtered a bunch of Jews right there in Lisbon before one of his trips over on a mission trip. And that was a year that Columbus discovered America. And what is America? The greatest place, greatest harbor and safe place for Jews over the centuries since that time. In 1948, we see it happen again. Next, they call that a tetrad. That's what NASA calls that, tetrad. It happened again. A great thing for the Jews. What happened in 48? Anybody? They became a nation. The miracle happened. They became a nation. Was that a big thing for the Jews? You better believe it was a big thing. And then 1967, it happened again. Four blood moons in a row, 67, Six-Day War. But what was the big significance of the Six-Day War? They captured Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. There you go. So it's a big deal, something to pay attention to. Now, am I saying that tonight that you need to be looking around that something is actually going to happen? No. What I'm saying is pay attention to what's happening with the Jews today, what's happening with Israel today. Are things happening with Israel right now? I mean, one of the most significant treaties that has ever been signed in the history of mankind is in force now. So we need to pay attention and ask God how He's speaking to us. Now, today I'm going to start a message that I will conclude, I hope, next week. But I want to introduce you to some scriptures. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. By the way, thank you, Mike and Carol for standing in today with Brother Gary and Lynn. They're out of town. Yes. And I'm going to have to get to know that new girl that was up there today. Yeah, man, I hope she's not married. All right, Acts chapter 2, Pentecost happens, Holy Spirit comes, which, by the way, hey, fourth feast of the year celebrates Pentecost, coming to the Holy Spirit. So here we are, right in line with God's clock here. Holy Spirit comes upon the church. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, the Holy Spirit come? Did that happen? Did the church go out like that? Just like it said, those areas geographically, you look at geographically and you see how the church went out. Man, that they looked at those people. There was a gathering of Jews that were there. And then in God's economy, he sent them out. He scattered them out to the world. You can't always view, we look at physical events and we say, oh, I wish that hadn't happened. But just like when the world tries to put out the fire of Jesus, the fire of revival, they come to a fire and they use a dry broom. And what happens when they swat that fire here and they draw it back to hit it again? What happens to the fire? They just spread it somewhere else. It's gotten loose on them. Jesus is loose in the world right now. We see his coming is soon. We need to pay attention to that. So then Peter gets up to preach. Verse 14. The Lord showed me this week. I've never seen this passage like I saw it this week. It's beautiful, the symmetry of it. Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. These men are not drunk as you may suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day." It's only 9:00 in the morning. So as they've seen these people, it looks like they're drunk, because what has happened? There's a miracle that has taken place. Have all these people with all these languages that have come there, and they're speaking and they're understanding one another. The tongues of fire have come upon them. It's a miracle of God that's taken place. It is a wonderful thing. The Spirit of God has come. So don't think they're drunk. Verse 16. But this is what the prophet Joel had. Now, why does he start with Joel? Why would he start with Joel? Follow me here. Don't fall off the boat. And he quotes from Joel. Now, by the way, if you're at that time in the history of the church and you're going to quote from Scripture, what are you quoting from? That's right. What we would call the Old Testament. You know, really, I'm uncomfortable with Old Testament, New Testament. It's God's Word. Now, we refer to it in that way, but it's actually God's revelation. Now, follow here with me. God's going to surprise a few of us today. It shall be in the last days. Well, he invokes the last days. That God says that I'll pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. Now, what have they just gotten a dose of? What have they just seen? The Spirit of God pouring forth. And they see this miracle. People that normally couldn't understand one another's languages, now we have the reversal of Babel. Remember what happened at Babel, at the Tower of Babel? Go back to Genesis. You have the confusing of languages. And now, when you walk in the Spirit, what does God do? He brings the interpretation of languages. He brings you together. And so they are. They've come from all these cultures. Jews literally have come from all over the world at this time. And they're there and they can understand one another. I'll pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women. Now when he speaks of bond slaves, what's he talking about? Who is he talking about? He's talking about we who've come into a relationship with him. We are his servants. So he's not just pouring out his Spirit generically. He's pouring out His Spirit specifically on us, on the church, on His body, His physical body on this earth. That's what sets us apart. We're not a club. We're the physical body of Jesus. We are the hands and feet of Jesus on this earth. I will in those days pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Now, we've been able to see some of that take place. And we'll come back to that. Just pose that question. Blood and fire, vapor of smoke, the sun will be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. It shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now here, pay attention to me. Here he's speaking of future events. He's talking about, here you're getting a dose of it right now, what it looks like for the Spirit to come, but he's looking future also. And I want to ask you, As he was looking future, and we're part of that future right now, have those things begun to happen? Are they happening right now? Let me ask you, have there been signs in the sky? Remember I read to you from Genesis 2 weeks ago that the first thing he says that he set the sun and the moon in the sky for was for what? For signs. Then he says to divide day and night, but the first thing they're in the sky for is for sign. Now, what's he talking about? What's the big deal? Well, you race down to the end of this quote from Joel, and it's all about the salvation of mankind. It's all about me and you. That's what all of this is about. That's what all these prophetic events are about. That's what God fulfilling everything that he said. And right now, we're right tonight. You will get to see one of the fulfillments of that passage of Scripture. You're going to watch it in the sky. You're going to see a sign. And let me tell you, pray there's not going to be any, you know, for in Jerusalem, there won't be a cloud in the sky that they can see that. All right. So that's future. Now, look how he does his message here. He speaks about future things. And it's all about the redemption of mankind. It's all about buying us back. It's all about, and it's about getting us ready for the coming of Jesus. So even here, I mean, Jesus has just ascended 50 days ago. I mean, he's just gone back. He's just ascended back to, and here we have God speaking through Peter in this way. Verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders. Now, listen to me. If he's going to speak about what has just happened, and you're saying, well, why doesn't he put a quote in there if he's talking about something present about what Jesus did? The New Testament's not been penned yet. Follow me now. So he's speaking it forth. Here's Dr. Luke, who's writing this, who is recording this, what Peter says. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. Let me ask you, that crowd that is gathered today, how many of them do you think have seen the actual handiwork of Jesus? How many of them knew Lazarus and that Lazarus had been raised from the dead? How many of them were those who had been healed by him? How many of those there had been there when he fed the 5,000? When he saw it, when it was multiplied. Get it in context. Get it in context of the time. You see, when he says this, the statement, just as you yourselves know, he's speaking stuff they can't deny because they saw it with their own two eyes. Follow me? Okay. This man, verse 23, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Okay, was it a plan in place for eternity past? What does the book of Revelation say? I quoted it 2 weeks ago. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The plan was in place. You know, that passage in Genesis that prophetically speak, as the Lord is protecting Adam and Eve, he throws them out of the garden so they will not eat of that tree and stay perpetually in that state of being separated from him. He had to throw them out so there could be redemption, so he could buy them back. He was protecting them. But what does he say to the serpent as he throws the serpent out? Remember? He says to the serpent, the seed of the woman, you're going to see the woman. What did we say about the seed of the woman? That's Jesus, born of a virgin. You can't just have a seed of a woman. You've got to have the seed of a man also for that to happen. Now follow me on this. Seed of the woman, the one born of a virgin. And by the way, the virgin birth is important. It's very important. Because it's part of prophecy. It's part of the redemption story. The seed of the woman, you're going to strike at his heel. Do we see Satan doing that? Let me ask you, has he been striking at your heel this week? Anybody? Well, three of us. Let me put up two hands. He's been on my trail. Yes, sir. Okay. But what did he say the seed of the woman would do to the head of the serpent? Crush it. You see, that's a picture of what Jesus was going to do on the cross. Remember? And he does that. He defeats the purpose of Satan. All right, follow with me. You nailed him to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Verse 24, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. You know, what did Paul say in the resurrection chapter? 1 Corinthians 15, what did he say? About death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see? So he's speaking of this. He put an end to the agony of death. Now, granted, there's pain associated with death. But as a believer, what do we have to look forward to? Okay, I'm a believer in Jesus. The government comes to me wherever I live in the world right now, and they threaten to take my life. What are they threatening me with? Oh, that means I can be like Paul. Is it better to go now to be with Jesus or go later? I'm caught between two opinions. So what do you, my political science professor, I don't know if he knew the Lord, But I remember him, Dr. Cole, just one day in the middle of our class, I'm taking Political Science 101, green as a gourd there, sitting in this class, and all of a sudden he says, well, you know, governments can threaten everybody. He says, no, wait a second. He said, there's one group of people that have never been able to be threatened by governments. He said, those are Christians. He said, read your history. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs and see. Threatened by death. Right now, ISIS is putting Christians to death on crosses. They're taking little children out. And they're saying to them, unless You deny Jesus, we're going to put your parents to death right here before your eyes. And vice versa. It's happening. But what have Christians throughout all generations said to that when the threat was made? Well, do what you have to do. I stand. I stand here for my Lord and my Savior, Jesus. Since it's impossible for him, talking about Jesus, to be held by the power of death, the resurrection power of Jesus is a power that goes beyond anything we can imagine. It is the power of life as he breathes into us. You know, Scripture talks, in Genesis, talks about God breathing into man the breath of life. And Scripture says, and man became a living soul. Can you measure life? Can you quantify life? How's that happened? You know, I've watched babies come into the world. I watched all three of my children come into the world and see and hear their cry and know the life that is there, that has been breathed in. It is an absolute miracle. And oh, the number of times to sit by the bed of a blessed saint of God, someone who knows the Lord, and watch the physical life leave them, but them knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Whew. That's strong. That's strong. That's real. That's the present that he talks about. Future, he looked to Joel. Now Peter's quoting himself of what they have seen about Jesus. And later on, he would write words about this. Then he goes to the past. Look at verse 25. He's getting his authority in line here. Can you see it? Future, present, now past. And they'll be very, very familiar with these scriptures. So he quotes David in the Psalms. David says of him, who him? Jesus him, Yeshua him. I saw the Lord always in my presence. For he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades. What is he prophetically looking for? Forward to there, as he quotes this, he's talking about what Jesus would do on the cross. And there are multiple examples, other examples, but this is just happens to be one the Holy Spirit led him to use. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Now, what does Peter say about it? He says, brothers and sisters, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, as we look in the past at him, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. So what's he trying to eliminate? He's eliminating them saying, oh, but David was talking about himself. Peter said, he's not talking about himself. So because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, and was that promise made to Jesus? That out from the line of David would come the Savior? You look at those genealogies and you see from his line did come this kingly line came Jesus. He looked ahead. He's talking about prophetically. David looked ahead and he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades. Here he's quoting it. Nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up, in which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He was poured forth. He has poured forth this which you both have seen and have heard. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but He Himself, Jesus. And then he quotes again, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet." Now get this. The Father is saying to the Son, well, what happened when Jesus died? He rose again and then He ascends back to the Father. What does the Scripture say that He did when He ascended back to the Father? He sat down, work completed, at the right hand of the Father. And the Father says, "You sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool to your feet." What's He talking about? Follow me here. Follow me. Follow me. He's talking about His second coming. Oh, the world may do all this stuff and we may think we're in control. But let me tell you, Jesus is coming back. That is the joy that we have as people sandwiched between the two comings of Jesus, and we look forward to His coming again. And at that time, when He comes back, when He comes and He descends there on the Mount of Olives, He touches down at the same place, just like it says in the book of Acts, where He left from, and He goes in that eastern gate. And He sets up His kingdom on this earth. And we will truly say, like that prayer that we have prayed, that we have memorized to the point that we've forgotten what it means. Thy kingdom, what? Come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And He's going to fulfill that. He's going to fulfill every detail of that. As He is going to put this world right. We'll see that. We'll see that in the millennial reign of Jesus on this earth. We don't preach enough. I hadn't preached about that enough in my lifetime. I've neglected that. It is such a great hope that we have. And it is real to us. So, what then? What's the big deal? Okay. So what does that mean? Great sermon, Peter. You got us all wound up. We're ready to go flying off the cliff. But which cliff? Look what he says. Therefore. What do you need to know about the word therefore? You need to know what every therefore is there for. Okay? Got it? You college kids aren't going to hear this in your college classroom. I'm older than most of you college professors. And probably been in school longer than most. Did I get an amen on that? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain, oh boy, that God has made him both Lord and Christ. 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 What's that the Greek version of? Messiah. If we had it in Hebrew there, you'd have to say Messiah. That He is Lord and He is Messiah. He has come, and He is coming again. This Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, the Scripture says, they were pierced to their heart. And He said to Peter, to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Can you see what happened? The Spirit of God has just been, He's been stirring them up, stirring them up. They're hearing this message, and they know the truth because he's done it from the future to the present to the past. He has made the case. He is Jesus, and he is Lord. Now, what are you going to do with it? There's only two choices. Only two choices. You either accept him to be all that he claimed to be. Peter brings it to a point there. The Holy Spirit speaking through him. He is both Lord and Christ. You either accept him and all that he brings. And that means he becomes Lord of your life. Everything. Or you reject him. There is no in between. Academia, intelligentsia, other religions have always tried to make a middle place. Well, you know, I like part of what the Bible says. But here's the truth. He is either Lord of all are not at all. Period. Scripture also says, looking into the future, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what? That Yeshua, the Messiah, is Lord. Just what he said. Now, that was all of my introduction for next week's message to see what happens as they become the church. It is radical. It's not radical, like we use the word radical. It is radical like God uses the word radical. Because they would turn the world upside down. You want a cause to give your life for? Do you think God knew which generation he would place you in? In eternity past, do you think he knew where he would place you, when you would be born, what the circumstances would be like? Do you think he knew that? Of course he knows that. He's all-knowing. He's God. So that means that for such a time as this, God brought you with your divine appointment from him to live out your life. And he's counting on you. There are people around you that are counting on you to show Jesus. May not be 3,000. It may be 3. But it's life and death for those 3. That's all I got to say. If you've never invited Jesus in your life, today's the day. Have you heard this message? We'll give you an opportunity right now. If you'd like to receive Jesus in your life, I'm going to stand here. We're not going to have any music. I'm just going to stand here. If you've never received Jesus in your life, would you publicly stand up and say, Jesus is Lord in my life?
Now wait just a moment. And my second word to you, if you have questions, if you'd like to talk to somebody about Jesus, I'm available. Brother Rick's available. Brother Dane's available. We're available to talk to you today. And we'll wait for you. We'll try our best to answer your questions. But the Holy Spirit will do a better job. All right. We'd like to get those cards from you. If you have a card, if you have an offering to bring. And I know some of you are really uncomfortable about this no music right now. I really am trying to make you uncomfortable. But there are baskets here, and we'll wait for you to come and bring those right now.